Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
You see, there are men and women who are in another realm with God. And I want you to know that it's possible. And I want you not to think of yourself as being disqualified from that. Remember in Numbers chapter 12, from verse 1 to 8, the Bible said Miriam and Aaron were having a discussion. And they gossiped a man called Moses. And where they were gossiping a man, God came. And God said, why were you talking about this man? Now, this is a human being that two other human beings are gossiping, and Jehovah showed up to defend the man. That means this guy is in another realm. When they were wondering why God would behave that way, God said to them, if there's a prophet among you, he said, I speak to him by visions and dreams, but my servant Moses is different. He said, I speak to him face to face like a man talks to his friend. Can you lift your hand? May you come to the point of intimacy with God. Amen. Did you notice when Korah, Datan, and Abiram decided they were going to attack Moses? I want you to look at a realm that is possible for you. And they were angry with Moses. They said to Moses, you take too much. We can't understand what you are doing. You need to get out of this behavior. Your family cannot all be controlling everything here. Now, what they were saying was physically okay, but spiritually not okay. I've said to you again and again, a man can be right at the wrong level. You can be right at the wrong level. Let me give you an illustration. I am your pastor. I do something now that looks like I offended you, and then you get angry. I start wrecking, I start acting. I may be wrong. And people that saw you do what you do may say you are right. You are right at the wrong level. You are right at the carnal human level. You didn't look at the level of the supernatural. You take that step, you wreck your destiny. You will be paying that price for a long time. That's why managing relationship with authority figures matter. That's why many of you here suffered a lot as children, because you thought that your parents were your mates. So they offend you, you spark, you talk some things, and your mother say, you will suffer. That you will suffer. It will take 10 pastors to remove it. Then you suffer. The anointing on it, you don't understand. You thought your mother was wrong, and yet she was wrong. You were right at the wrong level. Are you hearing me? These guys that we are fighting Moses. Why? Moses was the president. His brother Aaron was the finance minister, minister of religion. The sister was a worship leader and women leader. Okay, if three of you people have taken everything, what do we go take for this country? So they start quarreling. You say you brought us out of Egypt. You are our president. Your brother is a finance minister. Your sister is a person in charge of welfare and women affairs. Now, everything don't finish now. He said, you have to change this government. And Moses said, God instructed me. They said, we don't understand. How can God instruct you that this is not right? They were right at the wrong level. They didn't check on the spirit level. That's how people run into trouble. And Moses said to them, now this is a man talking to other men. He said, boys, calm down and stop this battle. They said, no, must settle this issue. Let's sit down and talk. Moses said, we are not talking. I've talked enough. God told me. Did he tell you? No, we have to sit down. Moses turned around. He said, all of you there, separate from this evil man. What? He said, walk away from them. The people are watching, you know. Some of them who know Moses started moving a small from them. Others just hung around them. I was still gisting. Moses said, I say, separate from this evil man. And Moses said, if they die the death of ordinary people, then I am not called. But if God does a new thing and this earth opens and swallows them alive, then you know that God has called me. Now, do you notice what Moses said? Moses didn't say, you will know that I did the right thing. He said, you will know that I am called. He didn't invoke his action. He invoked his ordination. That's why whenever you are fighting with anybody, understand the level. He never went to the area. Whether I did right or I didn't do wrong, it doesn't matter. But you touch the oil on my head, I judge you. And the Bible said the heart opened and took them alive into hell and closed again. And God didn't question Moses. Lift up your hand. I speak over you from today. May you walk in that realm. There's a realm. There's a realm where you control things. Where the supernatural becomes so easy and so real. Where you traffic in power. And brothers and sisters, when you begin that early, it becomes sweet. Don't wait until you're old. It is possible to live in the God circle. Do you know in Ezekiel chapter 14, God was talking and mentioned some people. Look at Ezekiel 14 verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. He's saying, if people offend me, I'm going to react against them. Now look at the next verse. He said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Okay, wait now, wait. God said, this land, let's take this land to be Nigeria. Let's take this land to be any city, any country. He said, I've offended me, so I lock up heaven. I make sure nobody is prospering. I make sure people are dying in mass. I make sure things are happening against them. He said, now, if these three men were there, can you imagine that God is giving an illustration and mentions your name? That God is making an illustration and mentions your name. It's so strange. You see, I've had people call me from different nations as I was praying and I heard your name and I started looking for you. I told you I was in London and a person said, I didn't know you. I didn't hear anything about you. I was looking for a mentor for my ministry. And I knelt down to pray and God gave me a name and said, look for him. Now, if God could call somebody and recommend me across nations, that means there's something he saw in me or something he put in me. Now, I believe God that today is your own day. Amen. You got to understand, God is saying, if these three men were there and God mentions Noah, I mentioned Daniel, I mentioned Job. That means in God's equation, these men are different. And he says, if they're in that city, they will not suffer what others are suffering by their own righteousness, even though they can't deliver any other person. That means that these men, anywhere they are, by being there, they subdue atmosphere. They subdue environment. Nature submits to this man. I want you to understand that. In the 20th chapter 5, when Israel came to the mountain to meet with God, and when they were finished, they all gathered. Everybody came to meet with God. In verse 30, God said, go and say to them, get ye into your tents again. Everybody enter your house. Verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou here by me. Now, can you imagine all of us came to meet with God? And then God gets up and says, okay, send everybody away. Send everybody away. You, stay with me. Everybody went home. But there are some men who sat down with God to have discussion. As for you, stand here by me. And I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgment, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them. He said, I will tell you what to tell others. You see, there are people, you hear their name now, nations are shaking. Both in ministry and in finances. In business, in career. Do you know that there are some people that started as musicians 7 years ago that if you want to reach them, somebody that tried to reach them could not reach them. That was at that time. Now some of the small children then have overtaken them now. There are some comedians that look like they were strong then. People have overtaken them. There are some pastors that look like great. People have overtaken. The important thing is this, that no matter who you are, keep moving. Keep moving. That's why critically looking at your life and insisting on being current per situation is important. Every season, you must be current with that season. All of you that are young, youth is ephemeral. Youth passes so quickly. You won't even know when it passed. While you are busy thinking you are okay, suddenly you see wrinkles on your face. So if it's any battle you are going to fight, it's a battle for relevance now. A battle to matter when it matters. After now, it won't matter. Another battle is not just financial, it's spiritual. That you are telling yourself, there's a depth in God I must get to. So when we're talking about the God circle, what is this God circle? We are talking about a circle of intimacy with God. Somebody say intimacy. Young man, young woman, come to the circle of intimacy. Genesis 18:17, God said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? God is planning something and is asking himself, will I hide it from a man? You see, that's the circle I'm talking to you about. That's where you must come to. Stop all these games and decide to go higher. Lift your hand. In the authority of Jesus, may you get there.
Amen.
The God circle is the circle of the mercy of God. That's a God circle. Where you operate in a dimension of mercy that's unusual. There are many of you here who don't understand what mercy of God looks like. You know, when God was speaking in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15, God was saying about a man called David. He said, but my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Why did Saul go down? God said, I took mercy from him. I took mercy from him. I want you to get to a point in your relationship and intimacy with God where mercy continually defines your life. That even when you are wrong, you are still helped. That's where David got to. That's a God circle. He said, I found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. You see, our people have this proverb. They say, the rat that follow lizard enter rain doesn't understand that when lizard is dry, rat will still be shivering. You see, one of the reasons why it is difficult for you to behave like other people is this. What can kill you can keep them alive. That you saw somebody and the person did A and did B and corner get married and it looks like he prospered in that marriage and you jump your own and your own put in detention. Destiny detention for a lifetime. He said, I don't understand. That's why you don't follow people. You follow the instruction of God in your own spirit. What others can escape, you may not escape. Because some people have entered into a place of mercy you didn't enter. So don't jump into their issue. You stay. You build their walk with God. You keep going. The God circle is a circle of the secrets of God. Somebody say secrets. Is it somebody came to me some time ago? He said, Pastor George, I want you to be part of this. You are going to help me do this, help me do this, and all of that. He finished talking to me. I said, okay. And I got into my room. Lord, how will this thing work out? He said, he's not going anywhere. And I said, I'm not going to join you. I stayed away. He was angry. He didn't go anywhere. If I put myself into that ring, I will have suffered loss. Sometimes God wants you. Circle up the secrets of God. That God says, look at this, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Do you know anybody you see today who walks in the secrets of God has information that you only dream about? Do you know there are men that wake up from the dream and there's a download of information in their hand? There are others that wake up from the dream and they were flogging them. No, you didn't hear me. They were flogging them. Others wake up from the dream. They just waka, 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 waka. Some don't even sleep at all. Some people sleep for 2 hours. By the time they wake up, they have a download from heaven. They walk into the day with instructions on how to move. Others slept all through the night and the night was blank. Which one are you choosing? That's why I'm bringing you to this God circle. Because your day is not wasted. Your night is not wasted. Your dream is not wasted. That's a God circle. Every time there are encounters are shifting destinies. You are making decisions as if you are too intelligent. It's not intelligence, it's guidelines. God just ordered your steps. Just do this, and then you move. You are just moving into something, and God just said, the season for this has ended. You say, what? The season has ended. You say, what? The season has ended. Shift now. You call A, you call B, and say, I'm sorry, this thing has ended. He said, no. I said, no, sorry. You move. The next day you find that anybody there is in trouble. That's how to walk with God. It's called the God circle. You got to understand that it's important to walk in that circle. Receive grace.
Amen.
You can see something like that in 1 Kings chapter 22, from verse 7 to 28. Ahab wanted to go to battle. Ahab was a king. Ahab was a very brutal man. The husband of Jezebel. She wanted to go to battle. And Jehoshaphat said, I'm going to go with you. But before they left, Jehoshaphat said, Oga Ahab, you know I like you. But this battle we are going to, have we asked God whether we should go or not? Ahab said, what do you mean? The land is our territory. These people occupied it. We're going to fight them and take it back. Jehoshaphat said, I understand. But have we talked to God? Ahab said, of course. I've talked to many prophets and all of them said I should go. Is that so? He said, yes. He said, is there not one other prophet we can talk to? Ahab said, there is one, but he hates me and I hate him. We don't talk well. He said, is he a good man? He said, he's a good man, but he doesn't like me. So me and him are not on the same line. He said, can we invite him? So they sent for Micaiah. Before Micaiah came, somebody came and warned him. He said, Micaiah, every other prophet that prophesy good. They say, go and win. Don't let your prophecy be different too. Micaiah said, no challenge. So they appeared. And Micaiah turned to Ahab, shook his head like other prophets. I said, okay, Ahab, go and win. This battle will be easy. Nothing will stop you. The way he was speaking, Ahab knew this man is lying. Ahab said, I adjure you by God. Tell me the real truth. Oh, Micaiah said, I was sitting in my house and I looked up and I saw men like sheep everywhere scattered. They were running from battle. Ahab, you lost. Ahab said, no, I can't lose. He said, no, you lost. He said, what of all these prophets that prophesy and say I should go? Are you better than them? Micaiah said, I was sitting in my house and I looked into heaven and I saw a council meeting going on. And I heard somebody saying, and I felt it was the Almighty, who will entice Ahab to go to battle in Ramoth Gilead that I may kill him there? He said, this spirit came and said, I'm going to entice him like this. The one said, I'm going to entice him like this. God just said, no, that's not the way. This one, no, that's not the way. And one of them came and said, I'm going to be a lying spirit and be in the mouth of all his. But God said, go, you are going to win. He said, all of these prophets are prophesying in their integrity, not knowing that a lying spirit is in them. He said, they're saying what they saw, but what they saw is false evidence. Ahab, if you go, you won't return. Ahab laughed. He said, I'm not bigger than all of these people. Arrest him. Put him in detention. When I return, I will deal with him. He's trying to discourage my soldiers. And Micaiah said, if you go and come back, God has not called me. Come, are you hearing me? Why was he bold? He saw something. May you see something.
Amen.
Ahab said, lock him up. Micaiah said, if you return, God has not called me. Ahab said, let me show you that I'm intelligent. You know what Ahab did? He told himself, I'm not going to ride on the king's chariot. I will not wear the king's robe. Let us see now whether they're going to kill me. He wore a corporal uniform. No, you're not hearing me. Joined the foot soldiers. Acted like he's not a king. They got into battle. Jehoshaphat was wearing the king's robe. He did not know that the king of Syria has told the people, don't attack anybody. Kill the king of Israel. So they faced him. When they were shooting, he shouted, I'm not the king. I'm not the king. They backed off from him. Ahab thought he has escaped. He thought he was wise. Battle is going on. The Bible says one soldier carried his arrow, was not facing anybody. He said it was an adventure. He just turned up and bam. And prophecy carried the arrow. Prophecy carried the arrow and started looking for where Ahab was. Where he was hiding among the soldiers, the prophecy came there with the arrow. He shouted, I've been wounded. Take me out before they kill me. Before they could take him out, he was dead. What happened? A man saw. He said, why things happen in your father's house and he takes you unawares you didn't see? Touch your eye and say,
I will see.
That's what we're talking about. And you see, why I'm talking to you like this is because many of you think that these things are outside your realm. You think that you are not meant to be there. You think that your whole life is about get a boyfriend, get a girlfriend, look for a job, move on, and things are hard, and live anyhow. No, sister. No, sir. There's a realm God is calling you to. That's the God's circle. The realm of the power of God. Young man, young woman, that's where I want you to be. You see, my first experience and encounters with the power of God wasn't because I was a pastor. I was not a pastor. I told you when I was in the campus and I went home. I've not been home for a long time. My stepmom was very sick and nobody informed me. She has been in the hospital for more than a month. She had chronic bronchitis. It was so bad that her lungs have been perforated. Every time she breathes, Blood is coming out from her lungs. She coughs, blood is coming out. They've been in the hospital. The doctors have done their best and said to my father, take her home. Let her die peacefully at home. There's nothing else we can do. So she brought her back and they were waiting for her to die. And nobody told me. So I'm in school and I got back to the house. I entered the sitting room and I saw her lying on the mat in the sitting room with this bowl filled with blood beside her. I was so upset. I said, what's going on? She can't hardly talk to me. She's so weak, so emaciated. I asked my dad, what's going on? He said he didn't want to disturb me because it was exam time. They wanted me to concentrate. So I walked over to her. I wasn't thinking of a miracle immediately. I just wanted to pray for her. So I told my dad, can I pray for her? He said, sure. So we laid hands. I put hand on her head. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness. I bound the sickness. I wasn't expecting an instant miracle. I walked over with my father, and we're in his bedroom, and we're just talking and all of that. Guess what? A few minutes later, a woman that I've never gotten up for 2 months walked up by herself. She cooked our dinner that day. You see, that's how to quench every argument. No, you're not hearing me. That's how to convince anybody that this thing works. I didn't go there to try explaining how Jesus was born in a manger. How if you don't get born again, you will die. I told you of the woman from Awuchi many years ago. The husband was a Muslim. She was a petty trader, not a big woman, in Lagos, selling by the roadside, and then got born again. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Was still a trader. But the husband, as a Muslim, got angry. Her own father, the woman's own father, was an imam. And they decided we're going to deal with her. They decided we're going to send her away from the marriage. And then we're going to deal with her. So they set out a day for her to come to the village for them to settle something in Awuchi. On that day, because she knows her husband will not drive her in his car, she left early. Started going to Awuchi. Got back to Awuchi. Entered the compound. Went to greet her father-in-law. She didn't know the father-in-law had stroke more than a month earlier. And because he's not talking to her husband wouldn't tell her. Papa, what's going on? Papa didn't even like her because she has heard that she converted to Christianity. After all the talk, the woman just said, Papa, sorry now, sorry. Talk and talk. And they said, can I pray for you? Now, she is not a leader in church. She doesn't understand anything called leader. All she knows is the way pastor prays in church. The woman just bent over on this man, Muslim man, who called a meeting, even in paralysis, to remove her. And said, Father, please, Lord, help him, heal him. She said in her testimony, she wasn't expecting a miracle. Suddenly, the man began to jerk in the bed. And the hand strengthened and he got up. Instantly. People were screaming. What happened? And he was pointing at her. She prayed for me. She prayed for me. When their senior brother, the husband of that woman, came back, the brothers gathered to beat him up for trying to drive away a woman that will be praying for them. They were not talking about conversion. They didn't want to be Christians. Just let her be here praying for us. I'm talking about the dimension of somebody shall power.
Power.
That's what I want to see in your father's house. That nobody can be poor there. Nobody can die premature. Nobody can be barren. When you are there, evil is far away. That's the person I want you to be. You know why they don't take your religion serious? There's no evidence. Your religion is, no, I went to church. I went to church. Where is God real? They say, believe it or not. You see, that is what we're talking about, the God circle. Do you want to live in that circle? I want you to ask yourself, where I am now, am I satisfied? The level I'm operating now, am I satisfied? Is there something more? Can I aspire to this dimension? Can I walk in this realm? And I want you to get there. Every one of us will be as close to the Lord as we choose. God has no favorites. God has only intimates. And he said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. There is nobody on this earth who is a favorite of God. All of us who made an attempt to be intimates got there. What is driving you now? What is the passion of your heart? What is the joy of your heart? What are you looking for? I get up every day, I have to remind myself what matters to me. This is what matters. If I can seek the kingdom and capture the kingdom, every other thing will be added. This is what matters. I will pursue the face of God. It may look like it took time, but some people that thought you wasted your years, we look back on you and celebrate grace in you. Come on, are you with me? Jesus said, he that will lose his life, we find it. He that will find his life, we lose it. You have been holding your life for a long time. Is it not time for you to say, Jesus, I bury my life in you. I will pursue you without relenting. I will seek after you without relenting. David said in Psalm 27, when you say, seek my face, my soul replied, your face, O Lord, will I see. Psalm 42, he said, as a hart panted after the water brook, my soul pants after you. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before you? I want to know you. I want to come close. I want to be one of those living in the God circle. I don't want a common Christianity. And you don't have to be a pastor. You can be a musician and carry that grace. You can be a comedian and carry that grace. You have your social job. But after that, when people come close to you, they find out that with all the social job, there is depth in you. We can have fun. We can finish gisting. And then you see me switch over. When I switch over, you find out that the person you saw outside and the person you are seeing now are different. That's how to operate. That's how to operate. I went to do some sports somewhere a few days ago. And I finished. And somebody wanted to greet me. I said, I should pray for the person. And I just said, okay, give me your hand. And I gave the hand. And the person was already, it's game. It's anointing. Switch one. Come, are you hearing me here today? That's it. While we are gisting and having fun, switch. That's what I want to see in you. That people relate with you like a young person, but then in an instant you switch and you produce results that shocks them. You are looking at a young person like you in the business and you say, you know, while I was talking to you now, this is what God told me. And describe some things about the person that shocks the person. That's the dimension I want you to get to. And you don't have to be spiritual to be that. Just be a seeker. Somebody say seeker. You're working with people. All of these people dancing around church are not at the same level though. I'm talking about the God circle. And you are just gisting with somebody now and something happened and you lifted your voice and gave one command of authority and a whole group of people on the floor. But we're just gisting. I'm talking about dimensions. You lifted the eye. You are seeing things that others can't see. I'm talking about dimensions. You pray one prayer and God takes it beyond it. Dimension. You don't have to be a pastor. You have to be a seeker. And until that hunger lands in your inner man, every other thing is wasted. Listen. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The only qualification for drinking this water is, are you thirsty? Stop putting a million qualifications. Are you thirsty? Are you somebody desperate for an encounter? Do you want depth in God? That's the only qualification. People can give you 10 things you must do to get there. But I'm asking you to do what Jesus said. If any man is thirsty, let me show you how to know a man that is thirsty. If this man is thirsty here and now, if I give him coke and he finishes the coke, he'll still be thirsty for water. Nothing quenches your thirst. When people come to church who are not thirsty, anything can distract them. But people that are thirsty for God, no matter what else they see, they're still pursuing. Why? Because nothing else satisfies a man who is thirsty for God. Marriage doesn't satisfy. Relationship doesn't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. You will have all of them and you still want God. Are you hearing me here? You will still want, you are pursuing and you are pursuing and you are never satisfied until you catch him. And can I tell you something? When you catch him, you will know. The confidence of your life will change. The boldness of your countenance will change. Your attitude toward life will change. When you look at life, life takes a different meaning. If you catch him, you catch destiny.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.